two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they were crucified with him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left, in the name of Jesus. In one murder investigation, the police had two suspects. They were William Burke and William Hare. At the time, the police knew of three murders that these two guys had committed together, but the evidence against the pair wasn't enough. In one case, in which the police had a body, the medical experts couldn't state with exactitude the cause of death. So it seemed likely that Burke and Hare would blame each other for those murders, and they'd leave any jurors uncertain as to which one to convict. So William Hare was offered immunity from prosecution to confess to the murders and agree to testify against his buddy Burke. And then he could go free. Now, why did the prosecution choose to go after Burke instead of Hare? Well, it was believed that Burke was the smarter of the two. He was presumed to have kind of taken the lead in the crimes. Well, Hare agreed to testify against Burke. Sure enough, Burke was convicted. And the day before he was hanged, Burke described for a local newspaper how he and Hare had murdered not three people, but 16. After the hanging, you can guess who the people were looking for. Two criminals, not one, but two. Luke's gospel says that two criminals were hanged with Jesus. Though Luke was about to tell how one of those two had a change of heart, he still described them, did you hear it? Criminals. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. Not only was the Lord Jesus wrongfully convicted and sentenced to death, Jesus was mocked. Mocked in that he was hanged between these two criminals. One of those two even admitted that they were getting what they deserved. We are receiving the due reward of our deeds. He was also, by the way, he was also the one who snuck into heaven through the back door at the last minute. Which raises a serious question. Are we going to be happy? Are we going to be happy with those people who will be with us in heaven? All of them? There's a little poem goes this way. When I arrived at heaven's gate, I saw faces I thought I'd never see. That line nails the truth. There are people we do not expect to see in heaven. You know, the lowlifes, the oxygen thieves, like those criminals crucified with Jesus. Oh, but that same poem goes, when I arrived at heaven's gate, I saw faces I thought I'd never see, and every face showed shock, surprise, not one expected me. I don't know about you, but my reaction to that last line of the poem is, oh, no way! Of course I'll be expected to be in heaven. That last line of that poem isn't about me. It's about people like like that criminal on the cross, that goat in sheep's clothing, no one will expect to see me in heaven. Come on now, you gotta be kidding. But the truth is, this poem is directed at me, you. It's aimed at our own highly polished views of ourselves, aimed at our own arrogant ways of comparing ourselves to you know who. Aimed at all the ways in which we think of people as being good or bad, one or the other, and we're the good ones. Which is a dead-end way of thinking, even for us followers of Jesus. Because if bad people are people who've made bad choices, well, I ask you, how do you view yourself when you've made bad choices? And then to what lengths do you go to have to go, to prove yourself that, really, I am a good person. You see, that there were two criminals crucified with Jesus, and one went to heaven and one did not, does not say that one was bad and one was good. It does not tell us there are two kinds of people in the world. Bad people and good people. Both of those criminals, even after one of them became a believer, both of them were deserving of a punishment a whole lot worse than what they were getting that day. So are we all. Deserving of eternal punishment, even if the only bad choice you'd ever made was this little tiny thing that you did. It was unintentional, didn't mean it. We are all broken, folks. We are all sinners. We are all chaff for the fire. The enormity of what happened to Jesus at his cross, as the one criminal said, this man has done nothing wrong. That tells us that Jesus did not die for his own bad choices. He died for yours and for mine and the bad choices of the best person you can possibly think of. So I ask you then, what separates the one criminal from the other, the one on the right from the one on the left? What separates the sheep from the goats? What separates them is the clothes. Sheep's clothes. You, my brother, you, my sister, you are a goat in sheep's clothing. You are a sinner broken, and you are covered by the Holy Lamb of God, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus by God's great grace and mercy. You and I have been declared righteous, honorary sheep. So that enables you to join with that one criminal to say with all boldness, I have made bad choices in my life, but that is not who I am. It's what I did and what I sometimes still do, because I am broken, guilty, a sinner. But what I am, most importantly, is a forgiven child of the Heavenly Father, because even though I wish that Jesus had saved me from making the bad choices I've made, that's exactly what he was doing from his cross. Save yourself and us, one of them cried out. But saving us was exactly what Jesus was doing by hanging and dying on that cross. He saved us. Saving you from making one bad choice or another would not save you. So, He died for all your bad choices. And that makes you forgiven. And it makes you bold to say, I am not my choices. I am a baptized child of God. And that makes you bold to say, whatever your sins, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This Spirit-given, cross-focused way of seeing yourself frees you to see others around you. Others neither as good people nor as bad people, nor to try to find the good in people. Instead, this Spirit-given, cross-formed way of seeing yourself makes you bold to see others as redeemed by Christ the crucified, forgiven, even as he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. To see others, to see them as the complex, forgiven sinners they are, messed up royally by their sin, either to a lesser degree or to a greater degree, as in the cases of William Burke and William Hare. To see them as complex individuals, forgiven sinners, whether they're walking down the aisle of the grocery store or walking down the hall of death row or down the aisle of the sanctuary, makes no difference. That's how Jesus saw people and why he was often accused of hanging out with all the wrong kinds of people. It's little surprise that in the last hours, Jesus was hanging out with a couple of criminals. He's always looking, always seeking the lost, even to the end. His most precious gift to you of empowering you to identify yourself not by your choices, but as a forgiven, washed, cleansed child of the Father frees you up. Frees you to seek those same forgiven sinners messed up to a lesser or greater degree, yet in order to offer to them forgiveness in Jesus so they too may repent and believe in the promise with me in paradise. So it goes for us again today here at First Lutheran Church this last Sunday in the church year, as we await the one whose choice it was to rescue us from our broken and bad choices and to dress us in threads fit for royalty. Prison outfits no more. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.